Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. This will be airing Monday, I believe, November 24, which is the week of Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And we pray that as you travel and have some time that you'll, you know, hopefully pick up the opportunity to listen to these podcasts, particularly about forgiveness that we're going through. And so such a critical place and kind of interesting timing a little bit.
Going into the holidays, that, very like, important, right?
That, a lot of people, they actually don't look forward to the holidays because they're going to be around what we call dysfunctional families. And it's going to be tense, could be controlling, could be argumentative. Things can get out of hand or just unpleasant and tension. So people, a lot of people say, I'm going to be around my family, but it's not really super pleasant to be around them, particularly if there's a pattern of hurt that I've never resolved. So I kind of enter into that with a bit, either bitterness and or unforgiveness that I'm edgy all by the self because I really don't want to be there. And I know what's coming. And I might have had an unhealthy pattern, well, where I let them walk all over me and I never did anything about it. And it doesn't seem I can do anything about it. So I know it's going to be oppressive to me. And we pray that maybe this will help you get to a place of able to enjoy the week. And as you learn it, you'll for sure be able to enjoy it because that's what God has in mind. And that as you're learning this, you actually can look forward to these gatherings because of the fun and the joy that it could be,
right?
Even when others may not be. And I know your family is always, you know, and when you learn the healthiness of it all, it's very enjoyable. I know you have a very enjoyable time and you have the celebration, but also you start your Christmas
decorating
process that has become a tradition. And I know your family looks forward just to that alone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the holidays are such a sweet time. It, you know, even in, I share all of the sweet, but I will just be transparent in this. And you know, this, they're my extended family. There is some difficulty and dysfunction. And so gearing up for the holidays and asking God, you know, how do you want us to honor my mother well in this season? How do we love her well going into the holidays and stuff is always a point of conversation. And it's been a journey through the years and things that he has taught us and things he's walked us into, but literally allowing us when we go down and do Christmas for her, it is a joy. It's not without some drama, not without some times of, okay, let's just go back to the hotel, surrender, pray, all of that. But at the same time, the way that he walks us into that as we're walking with him is beautiful. And so it doesn't have to be, I can, on the other side of all of this, I can say it doesn't have to be so contentious. Right. It can be this sweet fellowship with God as he pours out through you, to you and through you.
Yeah. Now think about when you say that, how did you go get to forgiveness that allowed you to do that? Because without it, you wouldn't be able to do that.
I can't say it was a quick process by any stretch. This years and years of a process, and still because new offenses come up, you know, we do talk about kind of repeat offenders. New offenses come up. I am constantly coming back to God. Okay, how do you want? I know I need to forgive. How do you want that to look in this moment? You know, what do you want to do to tend my heart? What can I do to follow you into this? And just being very closely receptive to that. But it has looked very different over the years, depending on what the circumstances were and what was going on. And it literally was a cling to me. With me, there is forgiveness. Stay with me and I'll show you. And I can't tell you that it ever has looked like anything formulaic or in a box.
Right. That's
it
right.
It is in this particular situation, this is how I want you to respond.
Yeah.
And walking that closely. As I have learned that, the freedom And truly the freedom to love her well has been beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about, you know, this is a good illustration of what we're trying to get to about, you know, walking in the life of the resurrection, is that because you have lived out and receive and exude Christ's nature of forgiveness, see, the focus that you have is, okay, I know I'm going to be around them. I know there might be some repeat offense, but the question isn't, I'm mad. They shouldn't. It's rather, I am in that place of forgiveness. So that's not a question now.
Right.
The question is, how would you like me to operate so that I can stay in a healthy place?
Right.
And I don't think they're going to change much, but the way I react to that is going to be your wisdom for me of, I can get through the week or the weekend. Forgiveness has already been resolved, so I'm good with that. I'm free of that. So really the focus is on, give me, and we're going to talk about this down the road, give me the instruction. And you just said something that's kind of important. It can't become formulaic.
Right.
It's going to be, each time there's going to be, okay, how do I handle this? What do I do here? And how do we operate this way? And how do we establish this boundary in a healthy way? He'll give it to you because he said, I've got your attention. You're willing to follow me. And he said, my heart for you is to actually feel positive through a negative situation. And I'll get you there. And why? Well, because you've worked through forgiveness already.
Right.
See, if you haven't worked through forgiveness, you'll never get to that second piece of it.
Right.
You'll be struggling both with the anger, and you won't know what to do about it, and it'll just get more and more heavy for you. So it's a great example. We all have these, and we just got to understand it. And so last time we talked about Christ said, I am the resurrection. My life of the resurrection, I want to live through you. And that's where I want you to experience life, which goes through the death piece of it, forgiveness, and now to the life of it. And then he says there's a gigantic benefit to that. And go to John 14, verses 15 through 26.
Sure. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live in you, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you.
Yeah, and then add to that, and then we'll put them together, John 10:10.
Sure, and that is, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Yeah, exceptionally abundantly. I want you to live out the abundant life. That's what I've come for. So he says, when you become a believer, I'm going to place myself within you through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he is the Spirit of truth who will guide you into the life of the resurrection. I'm not leaving you as orphans. And again, you know, he's trying to give us a picture here is, you know, when the disciples were with him for 3 years, who were they with?
They're with Jesus.
They were walking with Jesus. And what could they do? Dialogue, questions, processes. What about this? They all the time had access to the God of the universe.
Right.
Who knew the truth and was communicating in a form that they could understand it. He said, well, I've been telling you I'm going away, and you're wondering, are you leaving us alone? Basically, an orphan is you're abandoned.
Right.
And he said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. Actually, it's going to be easier. Why? Well, I'm going to be within you, and everywhere you go, I'm there. And all you have to do is have a heart to follow me, because he said, if you love me, what will you do?
Follow my commands.
Yeah. Okay. Now think of the word command. We would tend to think, okay, I got to do the biblical stuff that tells me what to do. I got to do that. He said, no. He said, as the Father directed me, he didn't just give me a bunch of principles and go do them for 3 years. It's that every day he told me what to, he gave me instruction.
Right.
Here, go here, go there, say this, explain this. He said, that's the life that I want you to live, is that you will follow my instructions. So when you see the word commandment, don't say I got to look at and follow the law of the Bible. It's that I got to take the truth of the Bible and have him speak that to me in what's called rhema, instruction. How do I receive that and live it out? And he said, I don't violate that truth. So you could count on it. It doesn't mean like you ignore it. It's that you build upon it. But it's got to become personal. So he said, if you love me, you will follow my instruction. And my instruction, now remember, put two and two together. I have come to give you what? What does he say in John 10:10?
To give you life abundantly.
Yeah. I've come to give you super abundant life. And it's interesting. There's these same words that it was written in Genesis 1:31 when God said, I looked at everything I had created. Mm. And it was super abundant. And Christ has said, I've come to give you that back, to live there, to live the beauty of the fullness of the Garden of Eden. Now, you won't have it like Adam and Eve because they fell. And you, unfortunately, have a sin nature too.
Right.
And you have an enemy that's in control of the world. So in the world, you're going to have trouble. You have a tendency to go back to flesh and walk away from me. But I'm going to put the Holy Spirit within you. If you recognize, I've come to give you abundant living, and particularly in relationships, since that's where so much abundant living is all about. We have a tendency to think abundance equals money.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, it'll include that. And it's not about wealth, it's about freedom. But mostly, it's about the abundance of joy in relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, guess what? You get a lot of people around you who are trying to steal your joy, and they don't care. And right. They're going to hurt you. They're going to cross your line of justice. They're going to make you angry. He said, I understand that, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. There's an interesting statement that he makes that's pretty remarkable. So in John 14, if you would reread verse 23.
Sure. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Okay. So who's we? See, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He said, so remember, we're placing the Holy Spirit within you, but you're getting all of us. Mm-hmm. It's not a limitation, or it's not a second. It's all of us, and we will make our home with you so that, and this is where he then goes on in the next chapter in John 15, and he said, well, who is all that? Well, I am the vine, the
Your
life.
Father is the vine dresser, yes.
My Father directs traffic, and he knows every decision to make to bear fruit, and the Holy Spirit is connecting the branch to the vine, and the life of that is coming through you to produce fruit. And he said, so it's all of us operating, and it's coming through you, and I'm not leaving you alone. Mm-hmm. The life of the resurrection is our life in you. And as you recognize it, he says, it'll translate into abundant living.
Right.
Okay, now, and you have people like this, I've had people like this. If people get stuck in unforgiveness, what kind of abundant living do they have?
They don't. It's miserable, right?
Yeah. How come?
Well, because it churns inside you. It steals your joy. It steals your peace. Your focus is on a problem rather than on your king who can solve it all.
Yeah.
There's so many detrimental parts of it.
Yeah. And see that you're burdened and you're captured by, it's upsetting you. You keep processing that anger. And there's no freedom, there's no abundance, because you literally aren't joyful because you're heavy-hearted. Mm-hmm. And it bothers you. Mm-hmm. And you can't get around it, because remember, it's a soul issue. It's in your soul. And that's why people can say, oh yeah, I forgave them, but they're still miserable. Well, why? Well, you really haven't yet.
Right.
You say you did, but the soul hasn't got to that point. And so the abundant living is And he said, think about how critical this is. How often are you going to have people that hurt you?
All the time.
See, all the time in all aspects of life, you know, from just normal business stuff to mm-hmm. friends, to family, to associates, people that work for you, people that come and serve you. It's just all the time there's irritation. Mm-hmm. And he said, you can't get around it because you live in this world of self-centered people. And generally, self-centered people don't really care the impact that it has on you.
Right.
And this is kind of funny. And I try to tell this to people and they tell me about, you know, this person that hurt them and they keep hurting me and we're nowhere and it's not pleasant. And I say, okay, based on that relationship, do you think that they spend any time being bothered by you?
Probably not.
No, they don't. See, a self-centered person literally has no sensitivity that it even matters. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting what I want and I don't care. And that's where the pain of it is, really, is that particularly for believers is that, well, they should feel that. If they're a believer, they should feel that, but they don't. Mm-hmm. And it hurts me, you know. And he said, so really, this is about your life. And what I want to do is give you abundance in your life, which is the Holy Spirit who's operating within me, and I'm within you through that. I've already forgiven them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, if you're going to have abundant life, is to stay in the same place that I am, which is going through forgiveness. And then through that abundant life, which we'll get into, is, okay, now what do I do to bring about resolution of this relationship that is difficult, that is in conflict, that is at a place where it isn't resolved yet? So, you know, for example, when I share about my mom, and I had gone through forgiveness, and that took a while, by the way.
Right.
And this is when I was first learning this, because he said, you can't just say you're going to exit that relationship.
Right.
You have to learn forgiveness. Otherwise, you'll be trapped by it the rest of your life, mm-hmm. Which I already was. And he said, okay, so I worked through that. And I had to, it's like, see, intellectually, yeah, sure. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, sure. But actually experiencing it was different. Mm-hmm. I had to stay with it till he finally, his nature, okay, got there. Well, then I had to go pursue, well, what do I do now in terms of living that out so that I can have freedom? Mm-hmm. And that's when he gave me instruction, which I had to work through, of, yeah, don't go spend any official holidays as a group with them, but you go earlier and spend, you know, three days and two nights, and let me help you what it looks like to go through that. Mm-hmm. And I needed that wisdom. But without the forgiveness, I would have never got there, and I wouldn't have learned how to actually have enjoyment in a very difficult thing. And over time, and you have actually mentioned this, I think yesterday, that as you learn it, and then you actually create a different dynamic, not because you're tolerating something, but you're expressing a different way of doing it. The other person, even though they never really reconcile with you, they actually make it easier to be together.
Absolutely.
And now I can show you what that looks like, because I want to give you that abundant life. And that's the beauty of what he says, is that if you love me, first you'll stand in the position I'm in, which is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If you love me, you'll follow my instruction. Okay, right. What do I do here to bring resolution? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't resolved until I finally understood boundary. Linda and I lived out that boundary and saw the dynamic of that. And God said, do you see I'm bringing you resolution, mm-hmm. at the same time, way different than you thought you were going to operate?
Right.
And you can have joy, you can have abundance, and face a difficult situation. So she never reconciled with you at that deeper level, but you were able to live a life that was free of the burden of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. Just as you're sharing that, I thought I'd share something unique, because again, this is, you know, these are instructions that, like we said, are not formulaic, right? That God walks you into for that particular situation, both seeing and knowing fully your heart and seeing and knowing fully the heart of who you're dealing with as well, right? And so every situation looks different. Just this summer, I had a surprise one that God highlighted to me. We were in a sermon on Sunday and the pastor was talking about forgiveness. And as I'm listening, I'm kind of thinking, I got this one down. We teach on this. We know this. I am really diligent to try to keep short accounts, you know, to really try to bring that forward to God readily and quickly so that it doesn't get in the way of things, right? That's something we just really practice on the regular. Yet the pastor said, you know, I want you to all just ask God right now to show you if there is anybody you're harboring unforgiveness for that you don't even realize. And again, only God knows your heart, truly more than you do. And wouldn't you know, God highlighted to me my niece, and I'm hoping she doesn't listen to this, but highlighted to me my niece with something that had gone on a while ago that I thought I had truly forgiven her for. But because of the nature of what had happened, it kind of gave my mom ammunition to continue to reuse it. And so suddenly my mom is using that to continue to fuel this thing.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I had already forgiven my niece over this. But God was like, no, actually, you're still holding that against your niece because it is being used against you constantly.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, sure.
So it was an interesting thing. So as I'm writing, you know, we're in the church service. As I'm writing, you know, down, okay, you highlighted this, I'm holding unforgiveness towards her. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that because that has been resolved, really. But it's not in my heart. Clearly, there's something that is still festering with it. And as I'm sitting there writing that, I'm like, God, so what do I do to even step into forgiveness? For how do I move towards forgiveness in this particular thing? A text comes through on my phone from my sister. Well, I don't answer it because, and it happens to be her daughter that I'm talking about. I don't answer the call or the text because we're in the middle of the service. So when I get into the car after church, I read it. And in this text, literally the moment that I'm asking him, what do I do? She's describing this situation to me where her daughter actually has this dog, Freckles, and her granddaughter has developed a significant allergy to her. And so, interestingly enough, she's like, we're going to have to rehome her to try to avoid getting adenoids and tonsils out. She's 7 years old. She's a great dog. And we had lost Duke a few months before. And she's like, it would, and they live in Illinois, mind you. So it is a bit of a hassle to make this happen. But she's like, I just wanted you guys to think about and pray about if you would be willing to take Freckles. And literally, Dan and I probably 2 days before it had the conversation, you know what? We're sticking to one dog. We're not getting another one until after grandkids get rolling and blah, blah. This, you know, it's actually pretty easy just having the one dog now and keeping things at that. And so I'm like, oh, well, I'll ask, you know, I literally think to myself, kind of being a brat, I'll ask God what he has to say about it. But that sounds pretty inconvenient in my mind right now and didn't know what the dog was like, really. I have not ever met this particular dog. So anyway, the next day I told Dan about it and I'm like, you be praying about it. I will too. And we'll see. And in my mind, I was dismissing it already. And as I'm praying about it, I have literally a list of a handful of questions that I'm asking God. And one of them was, you know, what do you have to say about Freckles? Is this anything you want us to do? And immediately the verse in Proverbs comes to me that, you know, if it's in your power to do good, you are to do good. And I'm like, you're not talking about the dog, are you? So I wrote it down and then literally closed my journal. And I'm like, we'll come back and talk about this later. And later that day, I'm talking to Dan and I'm like, so have you been praying about the dog at all? And he says, a little bit, but really just, I kind of had this feeling that in literally the exact same words, he's like, that if it's in our power to do it, we should do it. And I'm like, okay. So then I continue the conversation with God the next day. And I'm like, okay, if you're saying we should do this, I understand, you know, but what about, you know, all these things. And so finally he gets me to a point where I'm like, okay, you know, I will reach out to Christine and see about this. And what was so funny is I start peppering her with questions. And I've heard the yes from God. We're supposed to take this dog. And this is actually part of walking into forgiveness for my niece, that this is part of the plan. And I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. And so then I'm peppering Christine with questions. Well, does the dog bark? Does she jump a lot? Does she counter surf? Does she this? I mean, all these things that are like my fears of what in the world could I be getting myself into? I don't know this dog and we have a new grandbaby and blah, blah. And so I'm, you know, sending her all these questions and God just immediately, he's like, so Kath, are you telling me that your dependence is based on your yes is based on your comfort and convenience or based on what I told you? Like, ouch. Well, if I'm honest, apparently it's on my comfort and convenience, because I just sent her 1,000 questions trying to decide if I'm going to say yes to you or not. And so he corrected me on that and then very sweetly spoke to me. I need you to trust me. If I'm asking you to step into this, one, it is good for Hyla. Two, it is good for your heart. And it is a step towards forgiveness. And three, I'm telling you, it's actually going to be a blessing for you as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I quit my fighting about it, went ahead and surrendered to it. And wouldn't you know, I'll fast forward the story because I know I'm taking too long saying it, but wouldn't you know, when Freckles comes and my sister spends a week out here as she brings her and settles her in, it is one, this amazing gift to me that we, my sister and I have this time we had never planned, that we got to just spend time on the porch swing together and praying and having fun together and taking the dogs on adventures. And two, the other thing that happened is Freckles is a joy. I mean, absolutely amazing. Dan and I are in love with her. Everything about her is perfect. She's a delight. She fit right into our family, fits into our household dynamic absolutely perfectly. And then the beautiful thing is number three, literally every time I see her, I think daily, because I'm so grateful for her, daily God reminds me to pray for Hyla and her kids and her family. And that has moved my heart to this level of love and forgiveness for her that she didn't even know that I needed to have, really. It was something that God knew I needed to have. But it has that simple instruction out of the box. I'm not saying everybody's going to get a dog to move their heart to forgiveness, but that is the instruction that God gave. And boy, did he know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, he cares about forgiveness.
He does.
And as part of the, you know, again, it's the kind of the gateway to freedom and life. And then, hey, by the way, actually, I have something further, bigger than you even imagine, is for you. Mm-hmm. So what a beautiful story. And forgiveness, you know, it's just the life of God is forgiveness. He said, I put my life within you to live it out and live the life of the resurrection, to follow what I have to say, and you will receive the abundant life. So Heavenly Father, we lift that up. What a great illustration of that. That you care about even things like that, so that our hearts are free, and you always have a heart to remind us, to bring us to that point, and you highlight it for Kathy and Dan. They responded to that. And so we just thank you for that freedom. Thank you for the joy of what it means to live the life that you have in them and for them to live the abundant life. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.